Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's You Just Made the List time. Tell us who or what is on your list. Who or what has made you mad? This is a time for you to feel better going into the weekend. Release something that has been bothering you all week. Life presents a list. It just really does. Whether you're driving around town or you're just dealing with people on a regular basis or whatever. I mean, come on. Something's made you mad. You have to bring it this week. We got a pair of tickets to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts at Nissan Stadium June 29th. This is a huge, huge tour. Wasn't even scheduled to come to Nashville. They were selling out all the stadiums, and they added dates. They added cities because they were selling out everywhere. And Nashville was one of those ads. In fact, I think Kansas City and Arrowhead Stadium was another ad. But that's how we got this concert. They were selling out everywhere. So this is a hot, hot ticket. So you need to bring it. Tell us who or what has made you mad. It's that simple. Willie, do you want to start?
I do not.
What does that mean?
I don't want to start. I've been starting. I feel like I've been starting a lot.
Really?
This hinge right now, I know, is on your list. The spring on your microphone.
Yeah, I get a lot of things.
You keep getting sags.
The Wi-Fi here is on my list.
Your mic support thing sags.
It does. It's a sagger.
You got a pro.
It's a droopy.
Got a spring problem.
You know what?
You need to tighten the hinge a little
bit.
Makes
me mad. So you got nothing that's bothering you?
I will have something on the list. Yeah, I just don't want to lead off.
I've got a very unpopular one.
Really?
Yeah, last week it was about our plane ride. Like, that was easy. When you go through that on a plane, like, you know, I knew exactly where I was going with that. And I'm sure if you've flown, you've experienced what I threw out there last week. But this one really, as my mic sags. It's a slumping microphone stand. It's a slumping microphone stand. Come on. I've got an unpopular one, but it's not really. Well, yeah, I am. I'm putting them on the list just because I blame them for the continuation of this. And I hesitate to do it, but I have to. I'm putting ESPN on the list.
You just made the list!
In particular, College Game Day.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you know why?
No.
I think it's unfair to keep trotting out Lee Corso. I do. I think it's unfair. It's putting him in a bad spot. I think they do a tremendous job because there's times throughout the course of the season when they're somewhere, he's just having a rough day.
Yeah.
Okay? And Kirk Herbstreit especially covers him really well. But it's time, man, for Lee Corso. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. He's had a Hall of Fame broadcasting career. He has done so much for college football. He has meant so much to that show and, of course, you know, the mascot head. But it's time. And I think they keep trotting him out, and I think it's unfair to him because when he's off and when things, you know, he's had a stroke, he's had medical issues, he's way off. I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad that he's in that spot. I think it's time to just let Lee Corso acknowledge everything he's done, but stop doing this.
Okay.
Honestly, this could have been done years ago. I mean, how old is Lee Corso now? What, 80?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I know what you mean. I don't watch that show often enough to really know how his range varies from week to week. I do know he obviously has.
He's 84.
He's 84.
He'll be 85 this upcoming football season.
So even
85.
Wow.
I didn't know he was. I mean, wow. Like I said, Hall of Fame broadcasting career, but this could have been said years ago. It's just time, man. Stop putting him. I think it's putting him in a bad spot. Because when he's off, it makes him look bad, and they have to do all kinds of scrambling and covering. And like I said, they do a really good job of it, but just stop. I mean, I don't think it's fair. Is that bad? Because I know he's a favorite.
No, I think it's a fair point.
I just think it's time, man. It's been time.
All right. Here's who's on my list. And this will surprise nobody. And I probably am beating some people on the line right now to the punch. But Mike Milbury is on my list.
You just made the list.
Oh, okay.
The rant that I saw about the firing of Peter Laviolette, you know, we have said this for years, regardless of whether you're talking about hockey announcer, a football announcer, a basketball announcer, you know the analysts who cover leagues, not teams, but leagues, right? You always know the best ones when they know your team, the team that you follow. We're in a market. We follow the team in this market more so than others. So you know that as a national analyst. We bring Elliot Friedman on here every week. I listened to the interview you guys did with him yesterday, right before I came on with you guys. He's up on what's going on with this team. He doesn't live in Nashville, but he knows what is happening with this team. Maybe not as well as the people that watch every night, but he watches enough.
Oh, that's
he
impossible.
Keeps up. Right, but he's aware of the dynamics. Mike Milbury, on the other hand, he goes on this rant hours after Peter Laviolette is fired, gets on David Poile, goes down the list. It was obvious that he has not watched 5 Predator games all year long. I'm pretty confident in saying that. And I think he actually was at 1 or 2 of them. One or two of them.
He may have accidentally watched, right, because they're on the national platform a lot.
And I'll give you 2 examples of what he said in the rant that I saw. One of them was he goes down the centers. I understand you look at individual stats and you can say this guy or that guy is not having a good year. He mentioned Nick Bonino as we got to get more out of him. Like he was an afterthought, Nick Bonino, when he was talking about the centers of the Predators. Nick Bonino is having a fantastic year.
I didn't hear that comment.
I don't know if there's how many times he did this.
We played a bunch of clips. I have not heard that.
I'm going to give you. I saw an intermission clip in the game between Toronto and Edmonton.
Yep, that was the Monday night game.
It was the first intermission. And so I was watching. Okay, let's see what they say.
Yep. So was I.
And then they go. They bring in Mike Milbury. Oh, well, this will be interesting. And he goes rah, rah, rah about, you know, I'm putting it more on David. Well, I understand. You're backing up Peter Laviolette, who he hired. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying 100% of what he said was wrong, but it was clear as he talked more, the more he exposed himself of he's just not really familiar with all the things. Another example he brought up was, quote, trading a franchise defenseman in Seth Jones. Now, we're going to go back to Seth Jones traded for Ryan Johansson. That was a long time ago.
3+ years ago.
And what has happened since the trade of Seth Jones? Seth Jones is a great player. Ryan Johansson has been here. They've been to the Stanley Cup Final. They've won a President's Trophy. They've won 2 Central Divisions. And you're going to use that trade as a reason why the team is now firing the coach? It just had nothing to do with anything. I mean, really. There's some things you can pick at, no question, or else they wouldn't have been in a position that they wanted to replace their coach. But the analysis that Mike Milbury is giving you is way below the standard of what this league has in a lot of areas. And so the NBC coverage, I don't get it every year. They keep bringing this guy back. He does not have the in-depth insight that a guy in his position should have. A guy that coached in the league, played in the league, a general manager in the league, and yet
talks about the league on a daily basis
yes,
for his employer.
It's his job.
It's his job.
I don't get it. So, Mike Milbury.
You just made the list.
Sorry. I'm like you.
You don't need to apologize for putting Mike Milbury.
But I don't like going after. I don't know if I would say. Technically, he's a colleague, right? He does what I do. He does what we do. He covers the league.
Well, we've
but you got to know more than that.
Said derogatory things about Mike Milbury on this show over the years, but I know Lee Corso. He's a lovable guy. And look, it's tough because everybody's enjoyed his work over the years. I just think it's more than time. It is way more than time for Lee Corso to please step down, retire, and enjoy the rest of your life. Hall of Fame broadcaster for sure. You've done wonders for college football. It's just way time. Way time. Milbury, nobody's going to be mad for you putting Milbury on the list. All right, we've got loaded lines.
Low-hanging fruit.
We will come back and rip through a lot of phone calls. You're going to have to earn it this week. We've got a great prize attached to it. Who or what is on your list? Oh, by the way, Mookie Betts, there is news about him. I'll tell you what that news is. Is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. We'll tell you on the other side as we get your phone calls. Who or what is on your list? That's next. Pick six coming up at 1 o'clock. Mookie Betts and the Red Sox have they parted ways? No. No, they've not. Mookie Betts avoids arbitration and gets a $27 million deal for next season. Jeff Passan, I think, is the first one to report that.
Is that the most ever doled out in arbitration?
I would think so, right? It's got to be.
So awesome. 27
But why? All these, every year now, it just goes through this process. Why doesn't anybody give it? Why won't he get a long-term deal? Big deal.
We do not pat ourselves. Well, sometimes we do.
We
pat ourselves in the
sometimes
back.
We do.
But 3 years ago, we were saying this. Why would you wait? Why? You would have saved
They gave him
so
$20 million last year. 27
yeah.
this year, so that's 47
and
these 2 years.
It's going to be very difficult for them to sign him long-term. They might, but it's going to cost them a truckload of money, and it's going to cost them other players. When if they had just done what a lot of teams do, make the commitment early when you know you got something special. How could they have not known how good Mookie Betts was? They knew.
They knew.
But they waited and waited. And now it's costing a lot more money, which is great for Mookie Betts, right? But they could have saved money, the Red Sox, with a long-term commitment, given him security before. Now who knows what's going to happen?
Well, Mookie gets to play for $27 million next
year.
That's
good for Mookie.
Yes, it is.
And just wait till next year.
Let's get things going. Who or what is on your list? We've got great tickets on the line. Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Nissan Stadium June 29th. Let's start up in Gallatin. Mike, who or what is on your list?
All right, Willie, you almost took mine, but thank goodness you went the Milbury route, not the route that I'm headed. So I'm starting out, I'm going straight for the jugular here. So I'm going to put my little brother on my list.
You just made the list!
The news came out that Peter Laviolette was leaving, and we posted on our family chat that we have that, you know, Preds are getting a new coach. He's all about how Laviolette brought them to the playoffs the last, you know, 4 years, and that he's been a great coach. And I can't deny that. I can't argue with it. So I was trying to tell him he's done. He's like, no, it's the dumbest thing that the Predators could have ever done, blah, blah, blah. So the news comes out about John Hines and that he's the new head coach. I posted about an article on NHL.com about the coach. Dumbest move ever. Most ridiculous thing, most BS, blah, blah, blah. He goes on a rant about how terrible the guy is. And I said, Austin, I throw his name out there. I don't even care at this point. You know, I'm going straight for the kill. I hope he's listening. I go straight for the kill, and I say, hey, what do you know about the guy? And he says, well, I know he's not good. And I was like, just tell me one thing that you know. So the guy lifts up. He has a losing record. Okay. Yeah, he coached the Devils and he got fired. All right. And he lifts off like these other like really small arbitrary things. I said, Austin, Are you going straight off of John Hines' Wikipedia page for all your information and news about what you're telling me right now? And he goes, no. And I said, okay. I pull up his Wikipedia page while he's doing this argument with me. And I was like, go ahead and keep going. He's bullet-pointing the Wikipedia page down the line, reading the information about his source for what the coach is. And I was like, hey, Austin, if you scroll down two or three pages on his Wikipedia page, it will tell you how he led Taylor Hall to have his best season. It will lead you to say that he helped the Devils, who are a terrible team, to the playoffs. Give the guy a chance. Give the guy a chance before you start coming at the, you know, the throat of this guy before he's even landed in the sit butt down in Nashville. So my brother got shut down in the page. He hasn't really said anything else about it because he used Wikipedia as a source, which is terrible. Don't do that. But to all the Predators fans that were on Facebook, that were on ESPN and everything else, you're just like my brother. You don't, unless you have lived in New Jersey or you know the guy personally, give this guy some time.
Yeah.
Give this guy some time. We needed something new, something fresh, and I really think that we could give this guy a chance. And that's all I got to say.
Hey, Mike.
So Austin,
hey, Mike. Mike.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
How did Joel Quenneville get to Florida? What happened?
Yeah, same thing. I'm just saying.
I know. I'm saying what happened. Let's do this exercise together. What happened to Chicago?
Okay, Chicago, one of the most winning teams in the league. Guy won multiple championships.
What happened in Chicago?
Chicago started slowly.
He got fired. Okay, he got fired.
Yep.
Let's just say this together. He got fired. Gerard Gallant was in Florida. How did he get to Vegas?
Same thing.
Got fired.
Yeah.
How did Peter Laviolette get here? What happened in Philadelphia?
Fired.
I mean, to say he got fired in New Jersey, that any coach who's been rehired has been fired.
That's what I'm trying to say. Just because the guy has had like a couple seasons with New Jersey and a terrible team and his record is gone doesn't mean that he can't do way better with a great team like we have if we can get our good players to play around.
By the way, how did Barry Trotz get to Washington?
Fired.
He got fired. And what did he do? We won a cup.
Yes. So I guess what that thing is Nashville Predators Stanley Cup champions 2020. Is that
Austin? It's your brother's name is Austin.
Yep.
Austin, I don't know you, but you're better than that. Come on, man.
Yep.
Mike, thank you.
Real stat. Real stat.
Good stuff, Mike.
Thanks.
Fired.
Because he was just going down the Wikipedia. 737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's see. That was a good start. Let's go to Robert. Robert, who or what is on your list?
Insurance companies. So about 3 hours ago, I'm eating a burrito, and I bought into it, and I guess with the beans, there's a rock in it.
What?
So, yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
An actual rock?
Yeah, like.
Or just a hard bean?
No, it was like a rock, a little rock.
Oh.
So I bit into my burrito. I broke a tooth.
Ooh.
I get a hold of my insurance company. I'm going to go get some work done to find out that I don't have insurance. I've been paying for dental insurance through work for the last probably 3.5 years. Paid over $2,500 for the last 3.5 years. Well, I get told by the insurance company that I don't have insurance. So now I got to come out $2,000 to get my tooth fixed, and I've got no, you know, I don't have $2,000 to do it right now, so now I look like a hillbilly missing one of my front teeth.
I don't mean to laugh, Robert. I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
Hey, is your insurance through Somme Group?
No.
Is that too soon? Is that
no.
Too soon?
Don't go down.
Is that too, what? Too soon? No.
But I asked him at work, I'm like, why don't I have insurance? And they're like, I don't know. We've been paying the company they showed me where the company, they've been paying the company for almost right at 3 years. And they say, I don't have insurance. And I've never used it. I keep my teeth pretty clean. You know, I don't go to the dentist a lot. It's the first time I've ever had to use it. And I go to the dentist, I get told I don't have insurance. So now I've got a big gaping hole in the front of my mouth.
Well, somebody's got some explaining to do, don't they?
Yeah. Well, they said that they might have to back pay me or something, which would mean that all the money I've paid in, I'd get back. And we just changed insurance this week. So the new insurance is going to take over and fix it. But the old insurance company is probably going to have to back pay me for all the money I've paid them. So,
jeez,
I don't know. And by the way, I'm a big Red Sox fan. Y'all just made my day.
There you go.
I know Mookie pretty well, but y'all, I know him from bowling alleys and stuff.
Hey,
y'all,
Mookie can fix your teeth, Robert.
Probably now, yeah.
No, I know he can. $27 million next year? Yeah, he can fix them.
Hey, give me some gold teeth.
Thanks for the call. Hope you get everything worked out.
All righty.
So May Group. That's what happened. That's what happened. People didn't have insurance. They weren't paying the insurance.
Oh, man.
They thought they were covered.
It's a bad feeling, though.
You're paying in thinking,
well, I've got the coverage, and then you need the coverage, and it's not there. How does this employer explain that to him?
That joke works for a lot of people that have been here, but all the new people, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't get that.
Oh, the tales of woe from the Somay group back in the day. Oh, boy.
The FBI remembers them.
The FBI looked into that.
They did. Let's go to Trevor in Milwaukee. Trevor, who or what's on your list?
I've got a couple really quick ones. I drove 3 hours and 5 minutes to Chicago from Milwaukee last night to see the Predators game, and I'm putting people that do not know to have their change out when they're coming up to a tollway and ready.
The
amount of
good
people
one.
That I had to wait behind because they didn't have their money out in time.
That's
drove
a good
me
one.
Nuts.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It took me 3 hours to get down there and an hour and 40 to get back after the game. Second one is people that look over a bathroom stall when they already know that it is occupied. I was using the bathroom today because I work on the road, and as I'm sitting there doing my business, I see a guy's eyes look over the top of the stall to see if somebody was in there.
Come on, man. No
I'm
way.
I'm serious.
You just made the list.
The fact that he can't see my boots, I have to look at some guy's big caterpillar eyebrows looking over the top of my stall at me.
You should be able to decipher these things without looking over. You should never see eyeballs.
And my last one for the list is people that say that they brought a player up from Milwaukee. Technically, Milwaukee is above Nashville. So we are
yes,
bringing
geographically.
Players down to you.
That's fair.
I have to say, because it used to be the opposite, too. Remember, the Milwaukee Brewers would be calling people up from Nashville. That works geographically and up the ladder of levels, right? It doesn't work. It goes opposite, so it's confusing.
I would say, Trevor, we probably all are guilty of that.
Oh, I think I have definitely screwed that up.
Me too.
But I can't say how excited I was last night to be at the game and see the goal by Pekka in person with, like, 75 of my other Predators fans strewn about the arena. It was awesome.
And the Admiral guys, Blackwell and Trennan, doing a little something there.
I was really sad because you guys know I'm a big Watson fan. Drove all the way down, and it wasn't until I ran into the arena to see the warm-ups and saw that he wasn't even in the lineup. I was a little brokenhearted, but to see my boy Robo Trennan out there scoring the points day after day, it was all right.
By the way, the Bruins hosted the Jets last night.
No Chara.
Not in the lineup.
Ooh.
Not in the lineup.
And
about that.
Did they say why?
They did say it was because of the facial injury. I read a couple of reports.
Lacking confidence is what they said.
I don't know about
Trevor,
that. Thanks
for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
By the way, we pulled up the YouTube fight yesterday at the morning skate between Chara and Hal Gill.
Ooh.
That was interesting.
And by the way, I saw you guys. I look up.
Hal
was
so funny.
And you guys pull out footage of Hal and the cup. Skating
yes,
around.
With Rob Scuderi.
With Rob Scuderi.
Yeah.
Chris, your partner's
a rich
C.
history.
Mace's question. Who is Rob Scuderi? Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, who or what's on your list?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to put my coworker on my list here. I work in a very high volume office. You know, we're answering calls, making calls, and same thing with emails constantly. I have to pretty much every day do this man's job because he's not paying attention to anything. And I just don't understand how this guy still has a job at the office. So that guy made my list.
Okay, now say that part again.
I'm just saying this guy pretty much doesn't do any of his work.
Oh, okay.
He has to
lazy.
Tell him when he gets emails, and yeah.
Lazy
pretty
coworker.
Much doing his job for him.
Okay.
Yes, very lazy, very lazy. So that's the guy on my list, but I wanted to leave you guys with one more thing, little statement before I sign off here. Islanders, Stanley Cup champions, 2020.
Wow.
Have a good day, guys.
All right. Daniel calling it.
You just made the list.
Yeah, pretty good team.
The East is pretty good. Right now, Washington and Boston would be leading the class, although Tampa is starting to pour
Tampa
it on.
Tampa is becoming Tampa.
They're right. They're getting it together.
And so that is what you have to hope for some other teams that we cover here, that you start to
but how
true
could,
self starts
how
coming
could
out.
The Islanders truly win it? They have a coach who's been fired. How could they really win it? Let's go to Kenny. Kenny, who or what is on your list?
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Kenny.
I am in so much trouble. I'm putting on the list my wonderful and gracious wife, Babette, of 36 years.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, wait
now,
a minute. This is
honest,
unprecedented.
No one knew our beloved Titans were going to be playing this last Saturday night at 7 o'clock, right?
Yep.
No one knew. And for Christmas, you know, beforehand, both of our favorite shows was a show called Candid Camera. Well, she bought us really, really good tickets to the Franklin Theater. Peter Funt, the son of the creator of Candid Camera, has a show called Behind the Scenes with Candid Camera, where you see clips they couldn't show at the time because of language or the reactions of the people, how they set the stage for some of the gimmicks, some of the people actually they interviewed afterwards to tell, you know, if people recognized them. And it was a great show, but the problem was we didn't have Wi-Fi sitting there. So my plan was, I said, Babette, I'll go 4 or 5 times and check it. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. You're not moving. You're not going to be one of those people. She went one time early and came back, and we were behind 13-7. And poor Peter Funt kept looking at me. I would not crack a smile, even though 1,000 people were just dying laughing, and it bothered him. He asked me, why aren't you laughing? And I couldn't tell him because I care more about the game than you. And then I went late, and there were 2 minutes in the game, but Tom Brady had just got the ball, and I went back, and again, I was not smiling for 2 or 3 of the best clips. So I guess Babette goes on the list, but hopefully, you know, it'll get us through it. We laugh about it now, and 10 years we'll be laughing about it.
That's
but
funny.
I was not very happy at the Candy Camera Show.
You just made the day. List.
You too, Kenny. Thanks.
That's a great story.
That is. Why aren't you laughing? I can't tell you.
That's bad news when you get the attention of the host.
Right.
Wait a minute. I didn't come here planning on that. Getting called out by the host.
Curtis, who or what is on your list?
I am putting my little brother on the list.
Okay.
So after going into mourning after the Bucs season ended, I decided I would take him and tour some of the national parks like in Arizona and stuff like that. So we went and we went to this mountain in Arizona. We can go up and go skiing and everything. So we parked, we go hike for the day. I bought him a survival kit and everything. And when I say little brother, he's 26, so he's grown. We come back to the car, and he starts playing with his at, swinging it around like a child would with a toy.
His, what did you say? His axe or an?
Yeah, like a survival axe. You know, just in case you get stranded, you can
okay.
chop wood and stuff.
Okay.
So he starts swinging it around like a child. I told him to stop. He kept doing it. Well, he ends up bat swinging it into my side window of my rental car.
Oh, no.
And it
you just
shattered.
Made the list.
It shattered?
Yeah. Like it didn't completely come out. But you know how kind of when you hit a window and it cracks like all the way through and there was some chunks missing? So we have to drive down this mountain at night in a snowstorm, basically without that window, have it like that all night until I can go get it fixed the next day because it's a rental car and I have to get it fixed before I take it back. I was so angry. This happened last week, and I still have maybe said one word to him the entire trip back.
And his name is?
Joe.
Joe, your little brother. Who decided to swing an axe in your rental car. Yeah, in the mountains.
Right. Yeah, completely bat swing and took out a window. Like, I can see if maybe, you know, a kid was playing with a toy and it happened, but he's grown. He should know better. And well, it was not cheap, by the way, to fit a window in a car.
I know you're not looking for silver lining, Curtis, but at least it was a window and not like an arm or something, you know?
Well, I mean, to be honest, as long as it wasn't mine, I may have preferred the arm. I didn't have to pay for that.
But
y'all have a wonderful day, and thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
All right, Curtis, hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Well, we got a lot of bad little brothers today.
Issues between the siblings.
One more. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
I feel really bad for the insurance guy. It sounds like Rutherford County's mayor, they're facing like 70 felonies for taking people's money and not paying the insurance company. It's a woeful situation.
Mm.
And I remember I remember when you guys and George were interviewing the CEO when he first got the naming rights to the arena. Now, it's been a while.
Yep, it has been.
Just for continuity, let's do Stillman. And I'm going to put Chase McCabe on the list.
Oh.
Willie, Darren's right. Darren's right, Willie. You were roasted completely, just left for dead yesterday, okay? And I get it. And Kelly is priceless, and he's really good at what he does for a very long time. But, Chase, I think he crossed the line, man. He called you corrupt.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I'm not going there because, you know, we carved you up like you said, like a turkey.
But the consensus word would have been corrupt.
And I said, I am not calling Willie's a lot of things, but I'm not calling him corrupt.
So what I was I? If I'm not corrupt, I was what?
Well, the tone changed once, and then he started. Barrett, I think, can probably back me up on his. He started to backpedal a little. He was a little bit of Kevin Byard in the secondary. He was backpedaling like a safety, but he realized he'd kind of probably used the wrong word because nobody was willing to go corrupt. We used a lot of words to describe you. Corrupt was not one, but Chase went there.
I could think of a lot of words, man. You know, aloof, you know, possibly inept at times. But I just really don't think that Wiley has it in him to be corrupt. So you guys have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Thank you, Barrett. Good. I'm glad you brought that. By the way,
thanks for
forgettable
that,
was another word. In fact, even Mitch Light, your buddy, he even kind of took a little jab at you on the way out because he knew what was coming.
And what was the word he used?
He claims that you used to run a fantasy football league.
Yes.
And that at times you were ill-prepared for things. You didn't have the proper goods. You know, just like running the commissioner of silly underdog picks, that you didn't have the goods. You asked other people to do your work. I think even the thing he threw out there was maybe, this is all hearsay, that maybe you had even asked people to pay for things that you were supposed to be taking care of?
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would know.
Yeah, well, I would, let me just tell you, being around you 17 years in this business, I didn't dispute anything you said either because you tend to get a little light in the wallet when we show up to restaurants and in places that maybe need, you know, a tip.
Not all the time. Not all the time.
You tend to have lint in your pockets rather than those greenbacks.
With all that said, you wouldn't call him corrupt.
No, I did not. That was my line. I was not going there. Other things, I was willing to go there, but corrupt, no. So I'm glad Barrett brought that up. But he's right. Chase did call you corrupt, and it kind of had, you know, everybody slammed on the brakes. Like, whoa, like this is getting, we're getting a little too crazy.
I'm glad there was a limit. There was a limit.
Corrupt was our limit with you. All right, good stuff. We got some tough decisions to make. Good job. You brought it this week. We will reward somebody with a great prize. Pick six coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll be back. Well, I mean, since Barrett kind of ended, you just made the list by putting Chase on there, and it was well-deserved. We can keep piling on because he's gone. He's on his way to Baltimore. So we're sitting.
We did roast Chase earlier today. We did. We jumped all over him. He slipped up.
He left himself open. He's like, probably the Ravens, you know. Probably have the advantage in this game. Oh, really? No kidding. You think so?
They're a 10-point favorite.
They're a 10-point favorite at home. They're the number one seed. They're the heavy, heavy favorite by the odds makers to win the Super Bowl. You think they probably have an advantage over the Titans this week? So we've been, we'll just keep it. We already hammered him to his face.
So now we're going to.
So we're sitting here during the break and we saw two penguins walk into the studio.
And then, they were very comfortable.
And then Jordan Tutu came in here and he was talking to us. We were catching up with him.
He was eating Arctic char.
He was like, it feels like none of it in here. So I thought I would stop in and say hi. And we're like, why is it so cold? We can see our breath. And I wasn't even seeing dead people, but I could see my breath as the microphone sags. And we're like, why is it so cold in here? And then the beauty is, when Chase is gone, people are going to rat on him. Elijah and Jason are like, yeah, Chase came out here on the way out and said, man, it's hot in there, and just plummeted the thermostat on the way out the door to go to the airport. I look at the thermostat. It's down about 8 degrees from what it normally is. That's why we couldn't feel our feet. So we're going to have to put him on the list again for that.
You just made the list.
You don't adjust the temperature on your way out.
On the way out the door, you don't do that. You're leaving and you're like, hey, let me drop the temperature 8 degrees. On the way out the door, see you later.
He sent us to Alaska on his way to Baltimore.
Goodness. He remembered the ragging you guys gave him for the Baltimore having the edge comment on the way out. And he's like, you know what?
I'll show them who has the edge now.
Well, if he did that, it worked because I no longer could feel my feet.
And then this is also another bonus on the list. But how about D-Mace? He was just all over me this morning. He stayed over. You know, he had a state bonus time, which we appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
He lent his great insight. I mean, who knows the Ravens-Titans rivalry better than D-Mace? Great move.
He knows it well.
So I walk into the studio. I'm excited to see D-Mace. You know, I got back from Chicago last night, all fired up. You know, Predators got a big win. Getting excited to talk about the Titans. And before I could even say hi to D-Mace, he's going, wait a minute, wait a minute. And he stops everything, and he just carves me up on my dress code today.
He torched you.
Just completely torched.
And he loves to lay into you about your dress attire.
Totally, totally.
He gave it a big thumbs down.
Yeah, and I was rattled because then I took a sip of my water bottle. I didn't have the bottle screwed on tight, so it leaked. It just poured right into my lap. And he was all over me because I have maroon sweatpants on. Brand new.
Those are brand new.
Yeah. Champion brand.
Yeah.
Good brand.
Well, he didn't even give me credit for that. He didn't really even want to go there with that.
See, he gets on me because I wear several colors. I have colors represented.
You've been known to be bright.
I've been bright. Derek's all over me for that. Derek wears one color per day. He chooses one color.
It's either Johnny Cash.
Right. He usually goes all black, all gray.
Or all gray.
And occasionally all white as a change of pace.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, nothing's
clean.
Is that
what I'm supposed to do? Am I supposed to come in with one color on all day? Every day?
I don't think so because he doesn't really, I don't do one color and he doesn't seem to steer that my direction. It seems to be your purples and greens and.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
this is. You tend to have some off colors.
I have gray. I have a warm-up jacket on and then maroon sweatpants. That's not overdoing it, is it?
See, people who have shopped, they realize that usually the off colors are the ones that are on sale. And so maybe you tend to buy those because those are on sale, is it's the off colors.
But I got rattled.
It's kind of like buying.
Then I poured water right into my lap as a result. And he almost didn't make it on the air after that.
Yeah.
So he was all over me. I got to get back at Derek here. But I can't allow myself to get rattled. I had a little flare today.
You did.
I just decided, hey, what the heck? It's Friday. I got back at like 1:30 last night. I'm not going to put a thought into it. I'm just going to grab the new sweatpants. Try them on.
Well, let's
give it a shot.
Let's talk about last night because you were there. Let's talk about the different look. And by the way, in my opinion, and I don't know how much you and C-Mace talked about it, and because Hal and I did in the first period intermission, and I realized they scored 3 goals, so it's – It comes off a little phony, or under the duh category. But right away, I'm sitting in here going, they look different. I thought they had jump. You could tell they're forechecking, just what they were doing. how aggressively they were entering the zone. I just thought it had a different look and feel to it. Yes, Chicago's a lesser opponent than Boston. They've had a little bit more time to get acclimated. They had a practice with new head coach John Hines. But what I'm getting at is it looked different for the better last night. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it did. And I think
those
are fair
points.
You could
see some new things.
Now, that place, the United Center, is still a great atmosphere, even though that team is not as good as they've been, clearly. I mean, they still have Taves. They still have Kane. Corey Crawford's playing. Duncan Keith's playing. You still feel like you're playing the Blackhawks. And the atmosphere, to their credit, is still as good as any. But that's not a great team that they're playing last night. So you do have to factor that in. But that being said, I agree with you. I thought that what they're trying to do was evident last night right away. They had one practice, and they were able to implement some things that really helped them win last night. Now, it is only one win. And now, Winnipeg and Edmonton, the next opponents, will see what they did. And so when they prepare for the Predators, they'll be prepared for that system. So that will be, so now the Predators have to play even more tight with that, execute it even better, continue to build on it. So you can't judge just by one game. But I do think that was a really good hit the reset button, start putting a new plan together, and you get some results early. So, you know, there were some guys that really jumped out, especially in that first period.
The fourth line,
really. Fourth line was great.
Was fantastic. It really. And here's where I'm going with this. And once again, it's a small sample, and you got to give it time. Kind of like Mike and Gallatin, who led off, you just made the list. You got to give it time, right? But I don't want to stop talking about them, so don't take this the wrong way. I don't want to stop talking about the third line or the fourth line, because we've talked about the third line a lot this year for good reason. They've been the most consistent line this season, Smith, Grimaldi, and Bonino. The fourth line was good. I thought Turris and Trennan and Blackwell were really good last night. But what they've got to get out of is us talking so much about the third and fourth line. The top six has to get going. I mean,
yes.
If they're going to make a push, I don't want to say have to stop talking about them because they don't need to go away, but we need to start talking more about, and I thought Matt Duchene played well last night. I thought Matt Duchene, after missing the two games in Southern California, has played well since coming back. But quite honestly, they've got to get those top six forwards going. I mean, we have to talk about them a whole lot more. It's nice to talk about the third line. It's nice to talk about the fourth line. But, you know, you got a lot of money invested in guys on those first two lines, and you need to talk about them more. And, unfortunately, I don't think we've been talking about them enough this season.
I think David Poile said as much the other day when we had him on. When he says the top players have to be your top players, that's code for saying exactly what you're saying. Those guys can do better. But as I said before, it's not just how many goals and assists you have. And Duchene is starting to put together some. If you look at now, he missed the two games, but even right before that,
he's playing well.
The production
he scored
is starting
Classic.
To. Yeah, yep. He had 2 points in the Winter Classic. Yep. He had a great third period in Pittsburgh. He's starting to string together some points here, which is great. But it's an overall game, too. So that was the thing that maybe was most important last night is how they changed their defensive zone coverage. They just defended in general much better. Even when they were taking some heat in the third period. Now, the penalty kill is still the next thing that's got to get visibly better, right? They're still leaking on that penalty kill. But it should help when they start getting some of the personnel back, hopefully. But 5-on-5, they did keep the Blackhawks to the outside a lot more. They didn't give up a lot of heat in the middle, right? The net front. They defended the net front way better. And as a result, they were able to hang on to the lead, even when the momentum was Chicago's way. The crowd was involved. They were on their heels some, but they stuck tight to the system. That is what I think can make a big difference. Think about the games that have slipped earlier in the season where the momentum was going against them and it snowballed because they would give up the goal from the slot or give up a rebound goal or have a turnover that turned into a two-on-one. The last play against the Golden Knights, the Flames game where they're up 4-1 in the third period, couldn't stop the bleed. I mean, we can go down a list of probably 7 or 8 games, and that could have been one of those games last night, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
They hold on.
We talked about it earlier, the timeout. That also
it was nice. Good timeout. Now,
looked and felt different. They responded.
They did, sort of. I mean, it's not like they stopped giving up shots, but they hung in there, right? They did not give up the lead. So that's a start. Now, that was against the Blackhawks.
Right.
Now, it's going to be a little tougher on Sunday against the Jets, and then you got to go to Edmonton. These two games on this next road trip, very, very good test. Do they get Fabro back? Do they maybe get Ryan Ellis back? I don't know. It's hard to know. They have the day off today. There'll probably be an evaluation tomorrow. You might get a little more clue of their availability, and we'll see if they actually make the trip for these road games. Then you have two home games before the All-Star break, and then you would hope on the other side of the All-Star break you have a much fuller understanding of what John Hines wants to do with his system.
I said last night in postgame, I think this is a critical four-game stretch because they have 4 games, 2 on the road, 2 at home before the All-Star break, and then they take a full week off because it's going to give them a chance to really keep learning, keep evolving under a new coach, and then they'll be able to work a little bit because some of the they have to, you know, they have to take some time off, but they'll be able to work a little bit with that week off and then really come out for that final push after the All-Star break. But I'm going to be very curious because the two road games, as you just mentioned, are really tough. The home games are very winnable.
But they've got to start playing better at home. Yes,
they've got to start playing better at home.
Yes, and you're right. Those are two teams that if you are playing your best hockey – and playing in front of your crowd, you need to have success.
It should be 4 points.
I mean, you can never say should, right? But
well,
I never say should. But, I mean, that's one you like. You got to be able to. They've had too many games where they haven't gotten 2 points. They've settled for 1 or slipped up and not won against those teams. Those are teams you need to be. Buffalo's getting better. I mean, Buffalo is dangerous on a particular night, as we found out in Buffalo.
Well, it could be 3-point games. I don't care. Buffalo doesn't matter. You play an Eastern Conference team. Who cares if you beat them in overtime or a shootout? Who cares with Anaheim? I mean, let's be honest. Anaheim is not going to be threatening anything. I don't think they're a playoff team. So they could be 3-point. I didn't say you got to blow them out. I just said I think in the end.
You got to get success there.
When the horn sounds, that both games need to be 2 points.
Yes, and you don't have that much slack in the rope, right? That's the bottom line is – you know, one game doesn't make or break a season, but they have to play good hockey. They have 39 games left. I mean, you have 20 wins. You don't make the playoffs very easily if you don't have at least 43, 44 wins. You got to win more than half your games. Then the overtime losses are the extra points that hopefully get you to that 96, 97, 98. So regardless of what happens around the league, you got to make sure that you're playing on the pace to get you to around 98 to 100 points, just to be sure that you're in.
We will come back and kick off the final hour with Pick 6. But first, you've got a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right, let's tell you about Lee Company. It is a little bit warmer today. Where we're going, Winnipeg and Edmonton, how about minus 12? That is what we saw on the thermometer for the forecast when we got up there. So, yes, I'll be bringing some extra layers, and I hope the heat is working in our hotel rooms. If not, we got a problem. But, see, this is where Lee Company can really give you the assurance with their home maintenance plan at your home, wherever you're listening. 615-567-1000. The home maintenance plan is designed to where they are going to check that heating unit, make sure it is running properly before the weather starts getting cold because you have the annual checkup. So it's going to happen in September, October, as the weather starts to change. Same thing is true in the air conditioning time of the year. You will get an annual call for them as winter starts turning into spring. Also, they'll check your plumbing. They'll check your electrical systems. It's a really good plan to have because you stay on top of things. You don't let things get to a crisis mode. Of course, if that happens, you're always just a phone call away at Lead Company, or go online at leadcompany.com. So it's 615-567-1000 or leadcompany.com. Ask about the home maintenance plan. That's what we have at our house. It's worked really well for us. Lead Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
It's time to be a winner.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
Pick this week's games against the spread for all the bragging rights.
You want some bad enough, then you come get some.
Feeling extra confident?
I am the one true king.
Make that game your top shelf for double points. This is Pick Six, now on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's Pick Six time. On this Friday, we've got a pair of tickets to see Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Nissan Stadium, June 29th. A tour that's been selling out all over North America. It's coming to Nashville, June 29th. And if you pick correctly, or you pick the best, you're going, because that's going to be this week's Pick Six winner. Of course, our wrinkle this year is calling in. When you call in and participate and lock in your picks via the telephone, you get two top shelf picks. It's been a huge success this year, but you know what? People have won picking online too, but you do have an advantage. You only get one top shelf picking online. So if you're unable to call in today, you can still go to thegamenashville.com and make your picks. So before we get into this week's games, Elijah, let's review last week.
All right, last week. So our games from last week, we had obviously the point spreads for the Titans, Texans, Texans and Bills, Titans, Patriots, and then the NFC games, Vikings and Saints, Seahawks and Eagles, and then our prop bets were Derrick Henry either having 0 to 99 yards or 100 to 150 or 150 or above. And if whether or not Ryan Tannehill threw an interception. So we'll start off with our leader, Darren. Darren, who now leads to 82 points, picked the Texans against the spread. Texans won, but not by over 3.5. He picked the Titans. Titans did not only cover the spread, but as we know, pulled off the upset victory. He said yes to the Ryan Tannehill interception. Interception wasn't very pretty. Ryan Tannehill threw it. And then B for Derrick Henry. It's a rushing total.
And I really felt good. And then it just...
I mean, if he didn't play the fourth quarter, he probably had.
It was that fourth quarter thing.
The whole winning the game for the Titans in the fourth quarter wasn't very good for Darren. And then the NFC, he took the Vikings over the Saints. Obviously happened, pulled off the upset.
Plus 7.5.
Pulled that one off. And then top shelfed the Seahawks. And the Seahawks were a winner. So that is in total, a 5-point week for Darren, which moves his point total to 82, increases his lead a little bit.
Okay.
Not to be outdone, one Willie Donick, another 5-point week, which moves him to 77 after he picked the Texans, incorrect, but top-shelfed the Titans. He said yes to the Ryan Tannehill interception. Picked A for the Derrick Henry rushing total to be under 100, which is what I would have guessed. It's a fair miss. And then picking the Vikings and the Seahawks, going 2 for 2 in his NFC picks. So that puts Willie in second at 77 points. And Chase, out of the three of you guys, had the lowest point total of the week, with only 4 points, moving him to 74 in total. He was the only one to get the Texans-Bills right. He did take the Bills, plus 3.5. He took the Titans. He said no on the Tannehill interception. Definitely hurt him a little bit. And then he had B for Derrick Henry, would have also been good if we just didn't play that fourth quarter. Took the Saints. Saints not only didn't cover the spread, they end up losing. And then his top shelf, he actually did get correct, was the Seattle Seahawks. So that is the results of last week's Pick Six.
So 5-5-4.
Correct.
82-77-74 is where we stand.
I think that score is incorrect. No, I think I should not be down by more than 3.
Based on what?
Just my feel for the competition.
Well, pull out your notes and let's compare.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to cast doubt and then make it seem a little illegitimate.
Yeah. Don't have any notes.
No,
do we?
But I'll go by what the score is. I feel like our success rate is higher than in past years. Do you agree?
Seems a lot.
I feel like I'm having a good year.
You feel. It's a feeling?
Yeah, it's a feeling.
Uh-huh.
Like, right. I feel like I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. Like, 5 points is a good week.
So this is a mindset.
It's a mindset.
Okay.
So maybe I should just be commending you for having 82. Do you feel like you're having a good year?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm in the lead, which I am.
Well, you are in the lead.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the scoring system that we have, mm-hmm. and the calculations we've made, you're in the lead.
Yep.
But do you feel like you're having a good year based on, like, past years?
I do. I've had a pretty steady flow of my average is about 5. I'm doing pretty good. I've had a lot of 5-point weeks.
If you have 5 every week, I feel like that's winning pick six.
You're going to win pick six. If you can average 5 a week, you're going to win pick six.
Okay.
Over the course of a season.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on.
You have to avoid those 0-1-point weeks. You have to try to steer clear of those.
I think I've done that.
That's what I'm saying. There hasn't been any bottoming out weeks.
That's why I'm saying I think we're having a good year.
Yeah, I would agree. Just mine's better than yours for now.
Okay, long way to go.
You ready?
Yep. Dramatic pause.
Number one.
We caught Elijah. We caught him sleeping back there. Must be thinking about what's getting delivered to the station.
That's thrown me off today. It really has.
We're about to feed our faces. Okay, Vikings and 49ers to get the divisional round kicked off on Saturday. That'll be tomorrow at 3:30. That'll be the first game on NBC. 49ers favored by 7.5. 49ers by 7.5. What do you think? I'm going to go 49ers, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think the Vikings got hosed in their scheduling. They played the last game on Sunday in New Orleans. Now they have the first game on Saturday in San Francisco. So they get a shorter week, and they have to travel all the way to Northern California. I just don't think the league did them any favors. 49ers have been sitting there. They've been resting. They may be getting some bodies back, possibly. I haven't seen the latest today, but last check, D. Ford, maybe. He's been out for a while. Maybe. I think there's another key guy that I think they feel good that they're going to get back. So maybe some guys that have been banged up or injured or missed games late in the season, they could be getting back in the lineup. Look, the Vikings, that was a heck of a win in New Orleans, but I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to be saying you like that after this game. So I'm going to take the 49ers, even minus the points, 7.5.
I will take the Vikings. I think the 49ers will win. They don't have a lot of playoff experience. The Vikings have had a nucleus now that have played quite a few playoff games together, at least a lot of the guys. You can go to New Orleans and win. I think you can at least hang with the 49ers. I'll take Minnesota.
Okay. And Chase picked?
One Chase McKay picks the 49ers, so he is with you as well, Darren.
Okay. Number two.
Titans-Ravens, Saturday night, 7:15, CBS. Need the game total from the listeners. Ravens minus 9.5. Willie.
Wait a minute. Where's this 9.5 coming from? Why is it not 10.5?
Because it's 9.5. Because it's not 10.5 anywhere.
It's 10 everywhere.
It's been 9, 9.5, and the highest it's been is 10. There's never been a 10.5. The highest it's been is 10. It's been 9.5
a lot. It is the general thing that I've seen is 10, is it not?
Right.
So why would you go down to 9.5?
Because it hasn't been 10.5.
I want 10.5.
I understand that, but you're not getting it.
I'm taking the Titans.
Okay.
But I want 10.5.
Well, you're going to get 9.5, just so you know.
That's just wrong.
I am going to...
I'm taking the Titans.
Okay. I know Chase, without even looking, I'm sure he's got Titans top shelf.
He's got them.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes, Titans, he does have Titans top shelf.
Imagine that.
Correct.
Well, good thing he doesn't ever pick with his heart.
Be a shame if he were ever to do that.
I want the extra point, though. Why can't it be 10.5?
Willie, this is the line is 9.5.
It's not.
It's been 9.5 this week. It's never been 10.5.
Did you talk to Jimmy?
It's not going to be 10.5.
Did you talk to Jimmy Shapiro?
I, unfortunately, do not feel good about this game. I don't. And I just think, I have like 34-17 in my head. And so I'm going to, unfortunately, have to go with the Ravens, as painful as that is. But we're here to win a contest. This is business. It's not about your heart. It's business. And that's what I felt. I felt 34-17, unfortunately. So I'm going to go Ravens. All right.
Number three.
Who rushes for more yards, Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson? Not going to have Mark Ingram in this category because he's dealing with a calf injury. I think we know everybody would take Derrick Henry over Mark Ingram. But Lamar Jackson has rushed for 1,200 yards this year. Who rushes for more yards, Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson? Who did Chase take? Derrick Henry?
Good call. Chase did take Derrick Henry to rush for more yards than Lamar Jackson.
I, too, am going to take Derrick Henry. I think this is going to be interesting to see how this category plays out, but I'm going to take Derrick Henry. By the way, Lamar Jackson's had games this year where he's rushed for 150 and 160 yards in a game. Crazy. He's a quarterback.
Boy, if the answer is not Derrick Henry, this is not going to go my way.
You're right.
So I will take Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Number four.
Texans and Chiefs Sunday to kick everything off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on CBS. At Arrowhead in Kansas City, Chiefs favored by 10.5. I will take... I got burned by the Texans last week. 10.5 is a lot. I'm going to take the Texans and the points.
They are a 10.5-point dog in a place where they won earlier this year.
That is correct.
The Texans have a knack. They have a knack of hanging around games. Absolutely take the Texans.
Is freaking Will Fuller playing? Have we seen?
It's a questionable game-time decision. I'm seeing all that stuff. Yeah,
if I knew the answer to that, I'd probably top shelf it, but...
When was the last time he played?
I know.
It's been, what, 4 weeks, maybe?
Well, it's the Titans, right? The first game?
I think so, yeah. That would have been about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The last I know, he is still at least questionable, so...
Basically, his life story in the NFL. Questionable.
Right. Autobiography. Questionable by Will Fuller.
Who did Chase take?
Chase has taken the Texans.
Wow.
10.5-point point spread.
Okay.
Enough for him to roll with Houston.
Number five.
And finally, the last game of the divisional round will be Sunday night at 5:40 p.m. Kickoff on Fox. Seattle at Lambeau Field to take on the Packers. Green Bay favored by 4.5. This is where Chase is up first. Who did he take?
Chase took the Seahawks of Seattle.
I, too, will take the Seahawks.
Seahawks are a tough, tough road team. Underrated road team. You think Seahawks, you think 12th man, you think that great atmosphere, but they have been better on the road. Man, this is... I really want to go with the Packers here, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Just, again, have a knack to have close games. I will take the Packers to win, but I will take the Seahawks to cover.
Okay.
Number six.
National championship game Monday night down in New Orleans. Clemson and LSU. I can't just say the Tigers are favored. LSU is favored by 6.5. 7 o'clock kickoff on ESPN Monday night. LSU by 6.5.
Wow.
Who did Chase take?
Chase is taking LSU.
Chase is taking LSU. Okay, where are you going?
I feel like there will be a lot of touchdowns scored in this game. Like you could win by a touchdown. This could be like a 42-35 or 35-28.
You know what he told us yesterday? 37-30.
I'll take LSU.
I think I'm going to take the points in this one. I think I'm going to take the 6.5 points. I'll take Clemson.
Now, who do we take for top shelves for both of you guys?
Get your top shelf.
I will take Derrick Henry top shelf.
Yeah. It's got to be, right? To have any chance, it's got to be. I too, will go Derrick Henry top shelf. Okay. We'll come back. Loaded lines. Get locked in. Got a great prize. 737-1025. 737-1025. When a line opens up, you jump in there. We'll take your calls next.